Hello, Peas. It's Kate here, all on my own. And I want to tell you about my new podcast. My new podcast is called Honestly, I'm Lonely. Hopefully it's out on all platforms. It's definitely out on Spotify. It's 2 episodes a week. On Tuesdays, I chat to an awesome human about being lonely. And on Thursday, I chat with my partner, who's a psychologist, about the effects of loneliness or how loneliness makes us feel. She chats from a clinical perspective and I just chat from a chatting perspective. So she's laughing because she's sitting here beside me. I think that you're really going to enjoy it. I'd just love you to give it a listen and hopefully we can continue our journey as podcasters together.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody. There's a little trigger warning at the start of this episode. We want to let you know that we're going to talk about premature birth, twin-to-twin transfusion, and high-risk pregnancies.
I would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri clan and people of the Kulin Nation, and I'd like to pay respect to their elders past and present and their multiple birth mums, particularly with children with disabilities.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word. It's not suitable for children.
Hello, welcome back to episode 2 of Two Peas in a Podcast. Thank you for listening and welcome to our new listeners.
Yep, I'm Kate.
And I'm Mandy. And let's just talk about what we've been up to since the last podcast. Go, Kate.
Yeah, mine's pretty boring and insignificant, what I've been up to. Very, very similar to what you've been doing.
Totally.
Yeah, and relatable to everybody out there.
Yes.
So I went on a girls' trip to New York.
I went to Mount Martha.
Yeah. Also a girls' weekend.
It really was.
Yeah. So, a friend of mine turned 50 and invited us to go and we
so
went.
Amazing.
And it was, yeah. As a mate, I have depression from coming back home to my
of
life.
Course.
But it was great and I'm very lucky.
Oh.
Yeah.
It looked amazing.
It's just
fun after fun after fun.
Yeah. We just did not stop. We just went and went and went and.
Did she
walked
plan
about 14
everything?
Kilometres a day.
Or did you like...
No, we just sort of thought about... We all put in what the one thing we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then we did all of those things.
Yeah, great.
And
good
then
idea.
We just... There's constant things to do. You can't be bored there.
Yeah.
I don't really notice. No one was on their phones.
Really?
In the whole city. I just never saw people on their phones. They'd just be talking in the park or on the subway or reading books.
I'm shocked about that.
I thought, is it so amazing there? Have they got so much to see and do that they're not on their phones as much? Because, I don't know.
It's not Melbourne.
And Melbourne is one of the world's most livable cities.
Oh, true. But
yeah.
Or do we, like, I'm just not in the city. But I suppose out here people are on their phones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, that was my
observation.
But.
And you had some flights to places. It shocked me.
So we booked these really cheap flights. And
I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, what the hell?
Wait for it.
We got to go to Santiago, which is in South America, in case you don't know and your geography's a little rusty.
I did not know. I was like, that a part of America I do not know.
Yeah, Chile, actually. And we got to wait there for 12 hours on the way over and on the way back.
Oh, so it was crap,
but you can't complain because, and my friend was like, do you know what? We have no children.
Yeah.
And we can sit on this chair and no one's bothering
us. Yeah, amazing.
And I listened to like four podcasts. She watched movies. So really.
I know, but still.
Yeah.
It was quite the detour.
It was a big detour, but they added that in about 6 months after we booked the flight. Yeah. Oh. And then we were like, oh, we should change it, but we couldn't get cheap flights. So we just sucked it up. We really did.
I remember laughing, thinking, Chili?
I know.
You poor thing.
Anyway.
Oh.
It was.
It was part of the story.
It's part of the story.
Yeah.
And we were the only people that spoke English in the airport too. So that was really, really interesting actually.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
That is not the case here.
No. And.
So you could say anything you wanted.
Well, yeah. They sort of, you could say anything you wanted. But I did. This guy comes up and says, you speak English? And I was like, yeah. Spanish or Espanol? And I was like, no. I watched Dora the Explorer. And he didn't think it was funny. Oh. But anyway, we laughed a lot.
He's probably got that a lot.
Yeah, probably. Anyway. And what have you been doing, Mandy, since our last podcast?
Working, cleaning up the sewerage. Last time we had pipes. So I had to clean up our downstairs. I had all plumbers. I had Yarra Valley Water coming out, fixing pipes. Just stupid.
Yeah, disgusting.
I had a lovely weekend away with my book club.
Good.
That was fun.
Yeah.
So we do that every year. We've done that for the last 7 years. Last year I couldn't go because we had a whole lot of surgeries last year. And actually my daughter had her tonsils out that weekend, but also I didn't really feel up to it last year.
Yep.
So I was quite pleased that I'd kind of, got a little bit back to my old self.
Yeah.
So I was happy to be there.
Yeah. I heard you got kicked out of the dog park though. Is that true? I didn't get kicked out of any nightclubs when I was in New York.
Oh, that's something. Well, my dog is only 5 months old, but she started to, she's harassing other dogs at the dog park. So I said, I had to pick her up and I said, we're going to have to leave because of your bad behavior. She just looks at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. I went again today to give her another chance and luckily there was no other dogs there, but it was 5 degrees.
Yeah, it's freezing in Melbourne
today. I thought I was
done
with parks.
No.
No, back I go because I'm trying to give her a good life.
Yeah.
So, but people say she's a dog. You can ignore her.
Yeah, you can.
I'm trying. I'm not very good at it.
No.
Anyway, so life as usual. Working, had quite a few clients. That's been great. Lots of twins.
Good.
So, I feel happy about that.
Yeah.
We can talk about our works another time.
Yeah.
So tonight's episode. Or whatever time you're listening to, we're going to be talking about our twin pregnancies.
Yep.
So we're going to just give this whole podcast tonight about the pregnancies because, Kate's is going to be more complex than mine. And it's a story that a lot of you will probably understand or maybe have lived through. So let's talk about how we found out we were pregnant with twins.
Yeah.
You want to go first?
I do. Okay. So I had an 11-week scan. You know, they do the nuchal translucency on the back of the neck? And
was that your first one?
That was my first one, yeah. But I sort of had an inkling because I just felt like my stomach, because I've got a lovely soft stomach, and I felt like it was a little bit harder than it should have been for like that stage.
And because you'd had three pregnancies.
I was like, I feel like I can feel this. I shouldn't be able to feel it. This baby should be the size of a peanut or whatever.
Right.
And then I remember in the shower on the morning of my scan just thinking, I'm just going to be so glad when I come home and find out you're just insane, it's one baby. And then just put that thought out of my mind. And then went and had the scan, took my four-year-old with me.
Of course.
And said to the guy, scanning actually probably some famous doctor. Anyway, I said to him, she doesn't know what's going on. So we're just going to do this. I've told her they're just looking at my tummy and you're not going to really tell her. And he's like, yeah, okay. And then started scanning and was quite quiet for a while. And I thought, is that because I said,
don't say anything.
Yeah. And then he said, do twins run in your family? And I was like, uh-huh. Yeah, so that's how I found out. How did you find out?
Well, yep, I went for my scan at 12 weeks.
Yep.
And because it's 2005.
Yeah.
So I feel like people have them earlier now.
I don't know. Maybe. You don't know? I don't. They were my last babies. I don't really know.
Anyway, so I went there and I'd been really sick like from 8 weeks, just vomiting. I lost so much weight. I looked amazing.
Yeah.
The best I've ever looked. I remember people at work were like, what is wrong with you? One of my managers came over and said, what is wrong?
Yeah.
And I just said, I'm pregnant. But I just spewed all day,
disgusting,
all night.
Yep.
I just didn't think. I already met the doctor because I had kidney reflux as a child, so I thought I might be a bit of a high risk pregnancy. Yeah. So I went to a bigger hospital and I wanted an obstetrician that had some experience. Anyway, she was new, so she probably didn't have the experience. But anyway. And I said to her, I reckon it's twins. I'm so sick. And she goes, oh, really? Everybody says that.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just thought, oh, well, I'm a fool.
Yeah.
And then we get into the scan and Darren was there and the lady goes, do you want the good news or the good news? And then I saw them. I saw two babies and I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
And then all I said was, two two-year-olds. How are we going to do 2 2-year-olds? Because I'd worked in childcare. I'd wrangled toddlers. Mm. I'd been around babies and children my whole life. I just thought, what am I going to do with 2 2-year-olds?
Which is actually fair.
I know, but I really ranted about that.
Yeah.
Cried, laughed, said I knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
Went, remember going to the toilet, coming back, and I was just like, I knew it.
Yeah.
I remember being in that toilet thinking, I knew it.
Yeah. And you do know it. I sort of knew too.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So it was happy, really happy. And then I went back to work. I'm hugging the CEO. I'm going to a home visit. I'm inappropriately putting the video in the player with the mum from Afghanistan.
Yeah, look what I'm
doing. Who could barely speak English. And she said, I'm a twin and my twin's in Afghanistan still. And I'm hugging her about that.
That's cute.
And then we put the video on. We invited all our family over and put the video on and showed them.
Yeah.
So that was really, it was a great start.
Special.
And I was oblivious to what that meant.
Yeah.
That this could be tricky. At that stage, they looked great.
Yeah. And two babies. How amazing.
I just kept saying, what a miracle.
Yeah, you feel so special.
I really did.
Yeah.
And I just thought how lucky I was and just, how amazing. Mm. How amazing that I vomited so much and these two little things were kicking around.
Yeah, and they were fine. Yeah.
That's
amazing.
I could not get over that.
Yeah. So mine, absolute complete opposite.
Mm.
So I was like, no, twins don't run in the family. But obviously I knew then that we were having twins. And I still feel anxious. I just don't think about this. It was horrible. And he said, look, I've got some concerns. And I was like, okay. And he just kept scanning and didn't talk. And then he said, have you ever heard of twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome?
Mm.
And I said, no.
No.
And he said, well, I believe these babies are identical and I believe they've got twin-to-twin transfusion and you shouldn't see it till 18 weeks. You're only 11 weeks. So it's going to be dire. Like there's no positive outcome for this. And my four-year-old was there and I was like, okay.
Great.
And so I was trying to just hold it together and then, she was colouring in or something. And then he said, all right, well, you get dressed and come and sit talk at my desk. And I was like, okay. So he didn't like offer me a photo or like nothing, because it was just
nothing happy.
This is shit. So why am I going to? And so I went and sat at his desk and he said, now, you seem like a really sensible person. So the most sensible thing to do here is terminate the pregnancy. And I'm pretty sure that's what you'll do.
Oh.
And so there was no like,
what?
Are you okay? Do you want to call someone? Or he was
on your own.
Yeah.
With your daughter.
He's probably a lovely guy, but he just handled that really,
really badly.
Really badly. And so
I
was like,
you'll never forget it.
No, I won't.
No.
And I would never recommend anyone go see him. He's probably great.
Yeah, probably.
But I do believe people have spoken to him about that.
Someone
said, you did the wrong thing there.
Yeah.
And so then I hopped in my car.
What a shock.
My daughter was like, I want to listen to Robbie Williams. And so I just remember like listening to Robbie and just crying and thinking I have to get out of this car and I've got to ring people.
Yeah.
And so I rang My husband didn't answer. This is nothing to be, that's normal. And then I rang my best friend, Rachel, and she was also pregnant.
Yeah.
With her first.
Yeah.
Was she?
No.
Second. Second. She's pregnant with her second.
Yeah.
And I just left this terrible message. Aww. I was like, hi, Rachel. I've just had my scan. I found out I'm having twins and they're going to die. Can you call me back?
Aww.
And she's like, said, I just thought, well, how do I... what do I do? And so, of course, she rang me back and we, you know, she came over actually, of course, brought Jersey caramels, which is my favourite food.
Remember that. Yeah.
So, and
so you remember Robbie Williams, you remember, that.
Yeah.
Like, and triggers everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
Everywhere. Yep.
So, and then it just sort of was a very long pregnancy after that. Yeah. So, and obviously the doctor was wrong. Because
so what happened next? Here. Like, where did you go from there? So you've told people and then...
Well, I didn't tell anybody.
Okay.
Because I thought, well, I'm going to have to terminate these babies. And I should point out that up until this point, I had been a bit of a super Christian.
Yeah.
So termination had never, ever been on my radar.
I was kind of one too. If I'm going to disclose. This is why Kate and I love each other.
Yes.
I was a bit the same, like, whatever will happen will happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Whatever, if there's something wrong with them, it's fine.
Yep.
I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then I just thought, well, you know, and he, even at that point, that first scan, like he said to me, this donor baby, so twin-to-twin transfusion, when the placenta, when the egg divides, the placenta doesn't do it exactly properly. This is a terrible way of explaining it. And the blood vessels go back and forth between the babies instead of just into each baby.
Right.
And so baby A gives back to baby B or baby B gives back to baby A.
Yep.
Sometimes they both give to each other, but one gets too much or too, not enough.
Yep.
So our baby A, which was our donor baby, already then, they call them cling wrap babies. So you could see the bag all wrapped tightly around him with hardly any fluid.
All right.
Because they don't get enough nutrition, so they don't pee, so they don't make amniotic fluid.
Right.
Yeah. So that's all I saw. And then we didn't, I mean, it wasn't all his fault. My other child was there. And then so.
You think it would have been different if she wasn't there? You would have been able to ask more.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, he drew me a little diagram, put the two babies in, put the arrows with the.
And he still didn't take any photos?
No.
So you didn't come away with anything?
Nothing.
Oh.
No. Nah. And when I went out to pay and he came out and said something to the woman and she's like, yes, well, you don't have to. Obviously, we won't charge you for the DVD.
Oh.
And I said, oh. And she said, oh, we didn't make one.
Oh.
So I was like, okay. Or video, whatever it was at the time. But I remember being, huh. And, you know, you're just like, I just remember thinking, I can't believe I'm fucking paying you.
Yes.
For you to tell me that my babies are going to die. But
so terrible.
That's his job. Like,
that's right.
But I just was angry.
Of course.
So then we didn't tell anybody, but I had an appointment with my gynae like 3 days. Like this was a Monday and I had an appointment on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I went and saw him and he was like.
And he's an obstetrician too.
He's an obstetrician, yeah. And I'd seen him for my other three babies.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I've read the report, I've seen the scan, whatever, I think we need a second opinion.
Oh.
He's like, we can't make a call like this on one person's opinion.
Oh, it makes me want to cry.
Yeah. And he said, if you will be back here in 2 years and say, why didn't I get a second opinion? And I said, I can't see them again.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you're going to. Because we're going to do this. And he rang. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something. And he rang the most divine doctor ever, who one of my twins' middle name is after him. And he said, I've got a patient. I want you to see her. He said, I'll keep my rooms open. He said, you better keep a nurse there. So it was a specialist ultrasound private practice in like beautiful Hawthorne or Camberwell or in this beautiful old house.
Yeah.
Anyway, when we got there, it did help. I like things like that.
No, of course.
And there was no one else there, just us, which was really nice
private.
Too.
Yeah.
And he was so thorough, like just went through everything. And he said, I think maybe they have Down syndrome.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. And, but the reason for that is that sometimes the twin-to-twin recipient twin has too much thickening on the back of the neck, so it can look like that.
Yeah.
So he said, let's just do a CVS because we'll just see what's happening.
Find that out.
Yep. So we did that right then and there. And I remember it was like...
Is that the first time you'd had that? Like I haven't
Yeah, no, I'd never had it. So
frightening.
Yeah, they just put that needle right in.
Were you frightened?
Not really.
Just a bit shocked?
Yeah, and I wasn't frightened actually. Yeah. I think it was just I was scared of what would happen to the babies.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
And I actually thought, well, maybe this will just make them naturally abort.
Yeah.
And he said the same thing. He's like, well, sometimes this, you know,
okay,
if it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
And then he said he rang a lab and he said, you have to stay open.
Right.
My nurse is going to bring this around. Oh. This woman needs answers by the weekend.
Oh,
so this is Wednesday night. Friday night he rang and he said, they don't have Down syndrome.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. And he said, I want you to come back on Monday.
Okay.
So I went back on Monday.
Oh.
And on Monday, it was amazing. He said, what's your worst fear?
Okay.
And I said, oh, that my babies are going to die.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, so if you terminate them, what's going to happen? I said, oh, my babies are going to die. And he's like, well, why don't we flip the coin?
Oh.
He's like, I can't guarantee you.
Yeah.
This could be a terrible outcome. He's like, but no more terrible than your worst fear.
Yeah.
So we just went from there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was pretty very, very, very intense. And we didn't tell anyone because I just thought I have to get my head around this.
Yeah.
And, like, I eventually told my mum and dad, who were beautiful Christian people, and I just said, Mum, because my obstetrician said, I normally don't terminate twins after 12 weeks, but I'll give you till 14 and a half so that you've really got time to think about it. So I said to Mum, I don't know what the situation is. I might be going to terminate them. You're not allowed to give me any opinion.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, never, never, never.
Okay.
Yeah, she was really good.
Yeah.
And Dad just, because he's very hands-on, just half an hour later he was at my house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and we just cried and cried and cried.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't cry now.
You can.
But, yeah, and then we said.
It's a nice memory of your dad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there. And then we just went every week and had a scan. And then once they decided they were viable, which was 21 weeks, we had 3 scans a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
So from, 11 to 21, you didn't know if they were going to make it still?
No. And so, and even after that, really, because twin-to-twin transfusion takes off around 26 to 28 weeks, that's normally...
That's when it gets really more serious.
Intense. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Most people, that's when they find out they have it.
Yeah.
So, and for them, they wake up and their stomach's huge and really hard.
Right.
So it's just one of the twins has heaps and heaps of amniotic fluid.
Fluid, yeah.
So we would go, we'd have the scan. We just had this sort of agreement that he didn't ask me how I was going.
Yep.
And we'd just I'd lie there and we'd say nothing till he'd say, I've got 2 heartbeats.
Oh.
And then we'd just go down from then with how bad or good it was. And some weeks the donor twin had a visible kidney. That was a good week.
Yeah.
Because he was making enough. He had urine.
Right.
But other weeks there was no visible kidney and he would just have like tiny pockets of amniotic fluid and the other baby would just be like floating in this huge bubble.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, we had a lot of scans.
Yeah.
And but the second guy did give me photos.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, you need these.
Of course.
So, yeah.
And at the time I remember there was discussion about the laser up in Queensland.
Yeah.
Were you offered that or?
Yeah, so I can't remember the way
it was. I don't know if that's a question to ask, but I just remember that people were talking about that at the time. Was he like a revolutionary thing or something?
Yeah, Andrew Edwards that did my scanning, he had learned how to do it, but it was previously only in Queensland.
Yeah.
But something to do with my placenta lying the wrong way, they couldn't do it.
Okay, all right.
So.
Because that seems more common now.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know that it guarantees. Right. Well, nothing guarantees.
What does it do?
So it splits the blood vessels that are
sharing back the wrong way. So they're just, it's all just going in like a waterfall instead of coming back over.
Yeah.
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 So we were not eligible for that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So anyway.
And then when you hit 25, 26 weeks or when, what was happening?
So when we got to, actually when we got to 26 or 27 weeks, it did take off a bit. And at that point, like they couldn't even listen to the baby's heartbeats without having a scan because there was just too much amniotic fluid around and not enough for the donor and too much for the recipient. And so they were really worried and I was booked in to have them. This was like a Wednesday or something and I was booked in for the Friday. And at that point, there were no NICU beds in Melbourne. So I didn't realise that they do a NICU roundup every morning.
I didn't know that either.
No.
And then I, like 2 days after mine were born, someone was going to Tassie.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did we luck two beds?
I know. Well, it just blows my mind.
It's just another world.
Yeah, because they said, oh, the sicker baby will be going to Canberra.
Oh, okay.
And the not-so-sick baby will be going to Tassie.
What?
And I was like, if you have got to be kidding. Oh. Like I just thought,
well, it happens.
Yeah. How do I send someone with each baby or?
Holy and then moly.
And you sort of think, I don't know, they're not safe flying as they're so tiny. And
I was scared about mine driving from one suburb to another.
Yeah, you're really protective of them.
Of course.
So that didn't happen. When we had the scan on the Friday, they said, actually, it hasn't progressed anymore.
Okay.
So we'll keep them in. We'll keep them in and then we'll just keep them in, keep them in.
Yep. And every 3 days just check and make that decision on that day.
Yep. And every day before the scan, I would get to the scanning doctor's office and it just throw up and have diarrhea because I was just so terrified.
Of course. I can't imagine
that these babies would be.
Every time you.
And then they'd watch when they do the scan, you know, they put the blood flow and you can see the blue and the red and he'd go, oh, donor baby's having moments of hypoxia. So I was like, well, I know that there's going to be some sort of outcome from this that isn't great.
Yeah.
Because, and he's like, mind you, we don't know how many babies this happens to. And
we don't scan every 3 days.
We don't see this. So, but he was very, he just said to me, there will be some sort of global delay.
Yeah.
Like you can't have this much stress and trauma and not have something.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was always in the back of our minds. But at that point, we just wanted to deliver a baby.
Of course. Yeah.
So anyway.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Let's talk about your pregnancy, which is a little bit happier.
Oh, well, mine.
Apart from the vomiting.
The vomiting stopped at 13 weeks and then it was just glory town.
Yeah.
And I was just happy to have this big, big belly. And
did you know what gender babies you were having?
No, I was just not going to find out.
No.
I'm stubborn about that. I just thought it's the only secret left in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't need to know.
No.
I think that'd be different now.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty rare.
I didn't find it with any of mine. Except for the twins, obviously, because I thought, and we had too many scans, you could see it.
It would have been handy to get organised.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just thought, I don't care what they are.
No, I love
can't
the surprise.
Wait for a surprise.
I love it.
And I just thought I was going to have one of each because that's the statistic of fraternals.
Yeah.
Boy, girls are much more,
of course.
The most common.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just thought that. I went on a holiday to Noosa with my mum and my sister.
Oh.
Maybe I was about 24 weeks or something. Not even, like, oblivious to that that could have been really like people would deliver at that time. So I was oblivious to that.
In Noosa Bay Hospital
so
or something.
I was so excited to be on the beach in bathers and I didn't have to suck a thing in.
It's the best.
And so, yep, didn't go on a baby moon with my husband, but anyway, that's okay. So I got around 26 weeks, I finished up work and I really was loving my work at the time. I was home visiting a Sudanese mum and she used to open the door to me and say, "Hi, Mandy, two babies." And she'd kiss my stomach twice. It was so beautiful. Oh, so she called me Mandy Two Babies. And so I was sad to finish work. I remember walking away that day and thinking, right, it's over and this new life is coming.
Yeah.
And I'd really, you know, it's that weird feeling. And then you know you're going to be replaced and then you miss your friends and all of that. And then, you know, it was, you know, I was getting sore, but it was going, the babies were fine.
Yep.
So then I got to 31 and 2 days. I was big and uncomfortable and miserable. Yeah. And we moved house, of course, a week before because we were just renting and we thought we better buy a house and we better buy one with, you know, four bedrooms because we're all of a sudden
we're already got three.
Yeah, yeah, you know. So, of course, move house. Everyone helped us. Yeah. I didn't have to do a thing, but it was still stressful.
It is, yeah, yeah.
You know, on your body.
Yep.
So moved house. I was in this strange house. I didn't know where anything was. I didn't know where the supermarket was and nothing. Yep. And then boom.
Had the babies.
Yeah. So now we're going to talk about what happened, you know, after that. Maybe we could talk about their births.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll talk about what happened after that the next podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Waters broke at midnight and I knew right then that was bad news.
Yeah.
So I rang the hospital. I said, yep, you've got to come in. And I cried the whole way there saying, it's too early, it's too early, it's too early. And I must have sent out a text message to everyone saying the babies are coming, please pray.
Really?
And then no one heard from me for days. So I think that was terrible. People were trying to get onto my mum and dad. People were just,
Of
course, then I didn't answer. So
no, of course.
They said you'll either have them tonight or you'll have them in 72 hours.
Right,
Or we can leave them in there for a week, but that's it.
Yeah, yeah. So
your waters are broke. So they're coming.
Yep.
So we stayed in, you know, labour ward all night. The next day, then they weren't coming.
Yep.
So they wheeled me into this room and I was put in this room with all these mums who just had their babies.
Oh, beautiful.
All had cesareans, so they couldn't move.
I know.
And all night I'm listening to these babies crying next to their mums and I was just crying.
Of course.
All night.
Yeah.
And I said, take that cot away.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm not even going to have this. Why have I got one
singleton
cot next to my bed anyway?
Yeah, why? Insensitive.
And the other thing was we had, this is going to sound really snobby, but we had private insurance, but we were 18 days short of our year of having private cover.
Yeah.
So anyway, put in the public part. That's all right. Yeah. I'm not that much of a snob in real life.
No, you're not a snob at all.
No, but I was disappointed.
Well, yeah, you'd paid for something.
Anyway, luckily the doctor was still able to, you know, look after
babies,
me. But, so then we went Saturday night, nothing. Sunday, nothing. I thought, all right, well, I'm just going to be in here.
Yeah.
I had the steroid shots 2 days.
Yep,
I just was praying to get to the next steroid shot.
Yep.
Even though I didn't really know what that meant.
Yep.
And then Darren went home on the Sunday night and basically then I was like, I've got some period pain. And the nurse was like, oh, it could be something else. I remember thinking,
what the hell could it be?
Of course, I'm
going into labor.
So I ring Darren and he's like, I just got home. I was like, you have to come back.
Sorry, pet.
Sorry. Back you come again. You've been here for 3 days. And then Wimbledon was on, so he was watching that.
Oh, perfect.
That's always my, not trigger, but every time Wimbledon's on, I'm like, right, I remember that. It was on all night.
Yep.
And I remember being wheeled in and I had a male midwife and I'd never, I didn't expect that.
No.
So he was lovely.
Yeah.
And then, and then it was on. I had an epidural. That was the deal.
Yeah.
Twin one's head was down the whole time. But I didn't really know what that meant.
No.
I mean, I did want them naturally, but I didn't really know what that meant.
No.
So, she came out first. She was okay. She just looked like a little baby.
Yes,
she still had a bit of fat on it. She was 4 pounds 3. So 31 weeks. That was pretty good. She was 90% off.
Yeah.
And then Breach, next baby two, which I didn't really understand. All I remember is the doctor's arm up me and her hand going, I can't get the feet.
Far
so she had to break her waters.
Yeah.
Can't get her feet. I can't get the feet.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a memory.
Yeah.
And also thinking I had someone's arm right up me, like right up to their elbow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really...
It's like a little cow.
It's really not very nice. So she came out, and because I'd done small bits of work in hospitals and stuff, I was like, what's her Apgar? What's her Apgar? Yeah. What's her Apgar? They go, how do you know what that is? I said, I don't know, but what is it? What is it? Yeah. What is it? Because I was just like, for some reason my gut was telling me this baby's not right.
I know.
You know, or I was worried about
it.
And they called out something like 7 and 8 or something. So it's not bad.
It's fine.
And then the epidural wore off and they had to manually remove the placentas. Now that hurt.
I bet.
It really, really hurt. So I had the gas and then I was cacking myself and I was fine.
Yeah.
So, but the placentas had fused. And so they got them out. And then down the track, of course, some had been left inside. So,
of course, you got to go back again.
Yeah, but anyway, that's another story. My dodgy uterus. And then they were gone, taken into intensive care.
Yep.
Right. And gone. I just didn't even really know what that meant.
No.
I hadn't had any preparation. I hadn't toured the NICU. Yeah. I'd been in like a special care nursery at a smaller hospital.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what that meant in like a tertiary hospital.
Yeah.
And I remember Darren wheeling me around eventually and he said, I just don't want you to look at any other babies. I'm going to take you to ours.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you when to look at our babies. Yeah, and I was like, right.
Yes. Yes. So confronting.
So confronting.
Yeah. I suppose I, on the other hand, had done the full tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like my obstetrician said, you have to go. So I had my babies.
And you would have probably been thrilled to have them at 31 weeks, you know,
that's right.
Some point.
Yeah. Oh, I
For
was.
For me, it was absolute
Complete
shock.
Complete different. Completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was aware of that even at the time with all the other mums. I was aware thinking, I knew this was coming.
Yeah. And I'm grateful.
As much as you can be prepared, I was prepared.
Yeah.
So, we did the tour of NICU, special care, spoke to staff, spoke to mums.
This is where they'll be.
Yeah, I knew where everything was.
And we were at the same hospital.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah. Just a month or two. A month. We missed each other by a month.
Yeah, we probably did overlap a little bit. Yeah. But So, my experience of being in the NICU, even though you're crying, I knew that was what was coming. I had no doubt in my mind that that's where my babies were going. So
did you get to like 32 weeks and they were like, we're home and hosed, or was it just always?
No, because the thing with twin to twin is it can suddenly take off and your babies can die at any point. So they said to me, there's no way you'll go beyond 34 weeks. We just won't risk it.
Yeah.
It was just that the donor baby was quite small.
Yeah.
So the recipient baby, fine.
Yeah.
Lots of good nutrition going in there.
Yeah.
What ended up happening though, I was like 32 weeks and 6 days or something, and I had a scan on the Friday, and then I went back on the Monday, and my doctor said, "Nah, it's bad. It's going. You have to have the babies tomorrow."
Wow.
Like, and it was just all action stations. And he was lovely. Actually, came and saw me after they were born. This is the doctor that did the scan.
This must have been incredible.
And he said, you were the highest risk pregnancy that I had, and I just slept so well the night that your boys were born.
They were born.
Yeah. So, and I've seen him a few times.
It takes
since.
On professionals.
No, you
as
don't
well.
Think. You just think of yourself.
Of
very
course.
Selfish. These are my babies. I'm thinking he
was just as worried.
He would have had to say to me, "Oh, there's no heartbeat," and we'd sort of built this relationship up, and so.
And he must do that.
He
to
must
people.
Do that. Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was.
So you had the Caesar.
We had the Caesar, and I'd actually had an emergency Caesar with my third, which at the time I found very traumatic.
Yeah.
But going in for this one, I was like, I've done this before. It's fine. You know, and I really –
Let's just get them out.
I just was worried that they weren't going to be okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't worried at all about myself or the birth or whatever.
Well, you'd already been through so much.
Yeah, it just didn't matter anymore.
No.
Like things that – birth plans, all that shit. I just thought, I just want –
It's taken out of your hands with
it
twins.
It is.
I mean, I think it's taken out of your hands with singletons
so
too.
So do I.
But I think with twins even more so.
Yeah, just
Just get them out safe.
Get them out.
Yeah.
And so when they did the cesarean, my obstetrician pulled the little baby, the donor baby, out, and he said, "Well, I hope this is the small one."
Oh, because he was little.
He was little. Oh. And I remember the pediatrician saying, "Oh, I hope he grows into those ears."
Oh.
Which he sort of still has it.
How cute.
I know. And that was,
How cute.
And then you know, they're born within a minute of each other. Yeah. So there's no, you're not waiting. And of course I knew they were boys and I knew they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they were pretty good weights for, it was 33 weeks. So I think they were like 1.4 kilos and 2.1, something like that. Like,
yeah. Except, 2.1, great.
Yeah. 2.1 is fine.
1.4. Little, yeah.
Yeah.
Because mine was 1.5, the littlest one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, you knew that.
Yeah, I did know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they just, you know.
And people who have them at 25 weeks would be like, 1.5, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's right. And I knew. Yeah. I knew that I was.
Yeah.
That they were good weights.
Yeah.
For twin-to-twin babies. Yeah. And
they're alive.
Yeah, they're alive. And they just got whisked off and then we didn't see them for a while. But, yes. And because after you've had a Caesar, you know, there's a big recovery period. You can't walk. One. They keep the. Like epidural in for a while and you've got a catheter in so you can't move and then you know big hospital people forget about you
so no one takes you
to see your babies but yeah you know that's just how it is but they did come out crying and I did get to cuddle them actually
that photo
I've got a really great photo which that's maybe we'll put up on the Instagram of them beside me screaming and it was amazing just amazing and I just remember I was just crying not the sobbing crying you know when the tears just come and you can't and I remember this nurse saying you don't need to cry and I think I'm not even answering you because you've got no fucking clue the last 7 months of my life try and stop me you just try and stop these tears there's no stopping them and really actually I probably still haven't stopped
of course not.
13 years later but so that was the pregnancy of Buzz and Woody. And,
holy moly.
Anyway, has obviously had a very profound effect on all of us. And the whole now whenever I hear someone, oh, I'm going to go and have my scan and they're so excited, I feel scared for them.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel.
Yeah, I do too sometimes, yeah.
That happy. I'm like, no, you don't know.
You don't know.
And I think. I really believe if they were my first babies, they would have been my last. I would never have put myself through that again.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, but they were not my first.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I feel like we've spoken for a long time.
It's okay.
So I don't know if anyone's listening.
You're captivated. I think you twin-to-twin people will be listening, of course.
Yeah, and there are a lot of worse stories than mine.
Yeah.
They're really, really
I mean, that goes for me as well. I mean.
I know.
And we acknowledge that.
Yeah, I really do.
And we probably should have put a trigger alert at the start.
Yes, we can maybe do
that. Maybe we can do that, just to let people know.
Yeah.
So that they're not caught unawares.
No, and because a lot of twin-to-twin, well, the majority don't end with a happy outcome.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I've done a lot of work with a lot of women who had the not so happy outcome and it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for them to hear that my outcome was happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we understand that.
Yeah. We really do.
But we feel like it's important to tell our stories and to understand what we've been through and what our families have been through. It's good to talk about the pregnancy.
Yeah. And it's also, well, for both of us, that prematurity and that pregnancy.
Lifelong ramifications.
It's changed our whole life and it's changed our children's lives.
Yeah.
So we can't not tell it.
No.
That's their journey and our journey. So, you know, it wasn't.
And I was talking to her, I was working with a twin mum today and I said to her, you know, had she met other twin mums? And she was like, not really. And I said, well, for me, it was more about me having prems than it was about me having twins.
Yeah.
At that point when I got them home, I went to the multiple births and I was like, they were all like, I had mine at 38 weeks.
Yeah.
I had mine at 36. I spent, you know, a week in a hospital and I was just like,
I can't
not my people.
No. And now once we're all got babies that are 15, or six or whatever, they are your people. But
it's
at that
different.
Point
no.
of profound grief.
I really wanted to be with
you're
the
in
prem
shock.
People.
Yeah. You've been through this really big shock and, you don't want to hear about people's babies who are, you know.
No.
Just not, not relatable.
So we'll talk about once, you know, what happened next.
Yeah.
NICU, special care nurseries, all that sort of stuff in the next one.
Yeah.
Because we thought this was probably going to be long enough and important. Important.
Yeah.
So we always want to be lighthearted too, although this is not one. This is not, you know, we can't be lighthearted in this, but maybe just to end it off.
Yeah.
We're going to, what we want to include in each episode is something that made us laugh this week.
Yeah.
Something that may have made us cry or moved us.
Yeah.
And then maybe someone or something that made a difference in our life this week.
Yeah.
Just so, you know, we can do the same thing every week.
Yeah.
And because also we always like to laugh and have funny stories.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what made me cry this week, and it was today.
Yeah.
And it was watching on Facebook America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
And it was this adult who is blind and has autism.
Yeah.
And his mum brought him on because he is plays piano and sings. You might have seen it, but go and have a look at it.
Yeah.
I was just howling.
Yeah.
And I wasn't howling for that person. I was howling for their mum.
Yeah.
But that's my lens now. I'm always like, look at that mum. Yeah. She got her moment.
She really did.
And he got the big golden buzzer. And I just thought people are so good when they're good.
So you know, good when they're
encouraging
good.
Encouraging.
Yes. People are good.
I just couldn't stop crying because I thought all that mum has been through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's all who I that identify she's been through. With
yeah,
now.
Absolutely.
Because he's an adult. I mean, and that maybe he never got any acclaim for anything.
Yeah, probably not.
And then he got it.
Yeah, that's right.
And isn't that what just one moment in our kids' lives of them shining?
Oh, one
it's
moment.
Hard to find them.
Really hard.
Yeah.
So, I'll have to look at it.
Yeah, look at it. You'll
and
be
tag
like,
me in it. And I'll cry later. Not that I need any help crying.
Yeah, and then I showed my daughter who has the intellectual disability. Yeah. She goes, nah, not that good. So then I could laugh too. And I was like, okay, you're not even moved by your people. No, she said, no, not impressed. So that's what made me laugh. She's made me laugh a lot this week. What about you? I think I know what made you laugh.
Yeah. Well, I think what made me cry this week was yesterday I went to the chemist, and so I'm starting my boys on a new regime of drugs. And so you've got to wait there, you know, like explain to the chemist because they've gone from one tablet to now two tablets. And then the chemist is like, oh, this is a lot for a child of this size. And you have to, and you're like, yeah, I fucking know.
Yes.
And there's all people around me.
Up.
No, and she's it's nice private. Enough, but, you know. And I said, oh, look, can you text me when, you know, it's ready to be, because the ADHD meds, they text me.
Right.
And she's like, well, no, I
as
can't.
As a prompt as well.
Yeah, like it's the scripts, it's time to come and pick the next one up.
Okay, right.
And she's like, well, no, I can't because, you know, you're starting to take two tablets a day and what if you drop back to 1.5 and, you know, you really need to organise this before you can expect us to. I was like, yeah, okay, fine. I do need to do that. But I just felt, you know, when you feel stupid.
Yep.
And you're like, I feel.
Unorganised.
Yes.
And for me, I think,
I'm
unorganised person.
No. And
really managing a lot.
Yeah. And she's like, well, if it's two tablets a day, it's going to run out in 14 days. But if it's 1.5 I was like, I get it.
Got
you know,
it.
And then you sort of cut people off because you're like, yes,
don't
I
want
do
talk about
understand
this.
That.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's all fine. So, and I just felt. I don't know, you go to the chemist and you pick up all these drugs and you pay for it all and you're like, that's so much money.
So much money.
And I could do so many other things with this. I know I've just been to New York, but I could do so many other things with this money. And I'm not. I'm
it's
just
really
buying
a kick
drugs
in the
that
guts.
Nobody wants to take, you know.
And the fight.
Yeah, that's right, every day.
And the grief of why do I have to do this?
Yeah, that's right. So that
not
just,
fair.
I just popped in the car and cried. But, you know, it's not a big thing. But
yeah, but this is what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
These everyday things, don't we?
And then you completely, I can get myself back together so quick.
Yeah.
Walk
fast turnaround.
How was everyone's day?
Yeah.
You know, you just pop that mask back on. So.
A friend of mine pointed that out to me a few years ago. She goes, I've never met anyone with a turnaround time like you.
Yes, it's
true.
Yeah,
she's like, so you can be hit, you can be on the floor, bawling your eyes out. The next day you're back laughing. And I was like, well, it just has to be.
It has to be.
And because it's constant.
Yeah, otherwise you're not getting up.
No, and I chose one day to get up when I didn't want to.
Yep.
So it has to be.
Yeah.
But once she pointed that out to me, I thought, I'm bloody amazing.
Yeah, it's a really powerful skill.
Well, it just has to be.
Yep.
And the grief of things hitting you in the shopping centre, hitting you in the anywhere, and just got to stop the tears, stop the panic attack and go.
It has
to be.
It's
maybe
an incredible
superpower.
Strength. It is a superpower.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get an award for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We need to make up an award. People can win it.
Yeah. You can.
The turnaround time award. So another thing, the thing that made me laugh was, again, this daughter who I'm going to call my girls Millie and Molly because Mandy and I love that book, Millie, Molly, Mandy. So my Molly, who has the ID, so you're going to know that now, my mum came over and went to the toilet and apparently my Molly said to her, "I can hear you pissing, Grandma."
Which is not how Mandy talks.
That's not how I talk.
Well,
not,
she talks like that, but well, not around her children.
No, and it's not how my mum talks. And, you know, but when you've got a child with a speech delay too, everything they say is golden.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I just laugh because I think it's so funny.
It's so funny.
But I would never have been that mum.
No.
Well,
oh my gosh.
I didn't think I would ever be that mum that would let her daughter speak like that. And so we just forgive her all the time. Yeah. But then there's this moment where, you know, my husband's probably better at that and pulling her up and saying, "You can't really speak like that and don't speak like that in front of grandma
and
nana."
But also being very helpful to nana. She needs to put toilet paper or something down.
She must have been really loud.
She must have been loud. Yeah. I'd rather know.
Anyway, it really made me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's just no filter.
No filter.
And, you know, gosh, my our standards have dropped.
Oh, I have none. None. I have not a standard.
No,
not a standard left. So
and I just thought I was going to be all that, you know.
I was all that.
You were.
I was.
You already had three kids.
I had my shit together. And
you had great kids.
I had great kids. And then
they still are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. They're all different kids too now.
Yeah,
we're all tainted.
Everyone is affected.
Yeah.
And something that made a difference to me this week is a product called Hickeys, and then these are these little rubber.
Not love bites.
I don't know why they're called Hickeys.
Why are they Hickeys? Anyway.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. Maybe it's Hikeys.
Maybe, because you can wear them hiking.
Maybe. Maybe.
Anyway, they're Hickeys to us.
Right? Okay. That's really funny. The Hikeys. H-I-C-K-I-E-S. They're little rubber things that go through your shoes so that you don't have to do shoelaces because my daughter with CP, she can't do shoelaces. There's just no way.
No.
So if we want to have any independence with shoes, these
and
things are
any
awesome.
Speed.
Yeah.
Taking your shoes on and off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So they're a bit fiddly to get in, but once they're in, they're done. And
beautiful.
I just wish I had got them 10 years ago. So just go, if you've got kids that can't do shoelaces but they can be independent with their shoes, it's also tricky to get over because we've got an AFO, which is the orthotic up the leg. So this week I had to go and buy two pairs of I have to buy two pairs of shoes. So
different
I have to buy
size shoes.
A size 10 and a size 7.
Yeah.
Right? It just,
it's bullshit.
I'm sick of it. I've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
It's nothing compared to other people, but I'm just sick of it.
Yeah, and it just makes
Because she had
a
fall
sad.
Last week and cut up all her hand and her arm. So she was so sore and she said, because my shoe has no grip. And I looked at her and I was like,
true.
You're right. Okay. But because I put off getting shoes.
Yeah, because it's,
So thank you to Kmart because they're relatively cheap. So I get two pairs for $60.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. So.
And you can put your Hickeys in
I
them.
I want my Hickey Hikeys. So I just thought that might be helpful to somebody. You never know. That
very
needs
helpful.
Needs to not have to do shoelaces.
Yeah. Even 3-year-olds.
Yeah. Well,
can't
that's true.
Bothered.
That's right.
Yeah.
And because we can only kind of wear sneakers.
Yeah.
Excuse me. She Beautiful. Can't really wear, well, she can't wear thongs and she
yeah.
can't,
yeah.
you know, it's just, anyway.
Yeah.
Sneaker central.
Yeah.
Not what I wanted my daughter to wear all her life.
No.
Is sneakers all the time.
No, definitely
But that's
not.
The way it is.
That's, yeah. So what I, my moment that made me laugh this week was I was talking to all of my children. And I've had a little bit of jet brag. And so
jet brag.
So I said, I just want to go to bed and watch someone in a beautiful English village get murdered. And I'm just going to watch Midsummer Murders because I love it.
Great.
And if someone's not being murdered somewhere cute, I don't want to know about it.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I didn't know you had murder standards.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be in an English village.
Okay.
And it's got to be cute village too.
All right,
Not London.
The Cotswolds.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. So Buzz and Woody were like, oh, Mum, you would be a good policewoman. Oh. And I was like, they said, because you've watched a lot of detective shows. And I'll just point this out. I'm a little tiny bit overweight. And so Buzz said to me, and you'll be so good at arresting people because you just sit on them. And wait. Just wait, Mum. They'll never get away.
True.
Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah. And he thought that was encouraging though. Oh. Like, you know, Mum.
Oh, you'd be great at it.
You'd be good at it. Yeah. You can work it out and then you can sit on them. So I'm pretty sure that's how policing works too.
Well.
So yeah.
Oh gee. Bless their hearts.
I know. Oh. Bless their little hearts. Oh. Bringing you back down to earth straight away.
Yeah. This my Molly was sorting the washing.
Yeah.
These are yours. You've got a big bottom. These are Dad's. He's got a skinnier bottom than you. Apart from the fact that he's a black and mine a purple or something. No, unless it's just mine are bigger.
Bigger, yeah.
Oh, so funny.
I know.
Oh, geez.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the person really who's made a difference in my life this week is just another podcast
person. Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a guy that used to do Triple J Breakfast.
Uh-huh.
I love his podcast, Alex Dyson.
Shout out.
It's nothing. It's about nothing, really. Oh, well. But I just like listening to him chat. And
great. Because sometimes it's just company.
Yeah, and I just.
Hopefully you'll listen to ours as company.
That's hopefully you will. And yeah, he just, I don't know, he makes me happy.
Great.
So sometimes you just need that little bit of happiness. So put him on at work and carry him around.
It's like me listening to Aussie Vision talking about Eurovision.
Yeah.
I just love
make
them.
You happy. Yeah.
They just, it's just a little, you know, silly little trivia stuff. Yeah. Yep, so, love it.
Beautiful. So we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
We promise we won't talk for so long. Well, we might. I don't know.
Yeah, you can fast forward. I've learned how to do that. Yeah.
You can. And,
But hopefully there's something that's resonated with you and or you might be in this at the moment or you might be newly gone through this.
Yeah.
And we just want to give you some hope.
Yeah. And it's a lonely place.
It is
having a high
place.
Risk pregnancy or preemie babies.
Yeah,
none of your friends are going through it.
No.
And they do not understand one bit.
No.
So, you know, there are people who understand.
Yeah.
And they have been through it.
Yeah. So we're your people from our stories.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
We just want you to know you're not on your own.
No, you're not on your own.
And so we'll see you next week.
We
Thanks
will
for
see
listening.
You next week. Okay.
I hope you come back.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.